the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Am I, I'm not sure if I'm in the monitors or not, I shouldn't be. A little bit of a ring up here. So yeah, he said, seek first, and all these things that you're concerned of will be added to you, will be added to you. So as we've been left here with this great commission to go and make disciples, while we're seeking him first for our blessing, these are things we all are concerned for and we want. And Jesus said, look, I know you need them. I'm not discounting your desires. I created you with those desires. They're valid. They're the way I designed you. But as we grow in love for God, we will grow in love for one another because we'll recognize how much God loves the one another's around us. And as we grow in our love, we'll want to know more of, my Bible's down there, want to know more of, what his word says. Yeah, I guess I'll come. Thank you. We want to know more of what this says, right? Thank you. And we want to find the promise that Scripture has told us about, that it transforms us. It changes us from the inside out. It makes us different people. Like I said, my wife is a happy woman, that I am not the same man I was when I first came to faith in Christ. And so am I. I am far different over these last 32 years from what I was. Thank you, Lord. He calls us to be transformed people. And then he calls us, but we seek that not so much as we grow out of a selfish, I want, but out of a mature love that says, I want, but Lord, you want. You want. And we begin to love out of maturity. Out of maturity is a love that is selfless. When I first fell for Terry, it was a selfish love. It usually is. I gotta have that girl. She's gonna make what? Me so happy. I wanna be happy. That's immature love. It's immature love. Mature love says, I love her and I want what's best for her. Mature love is selfless love, right? It's got strength. It has courage to do the things that I wouldn't normally want to do, you know. And we begin to use words like commitment and loyalty out of a mature love for God. Words like my allegiance to God is first. Him first. He is Lord. When I say Lord, Lord, I mean it, right? I mean it. And we use words like duty. It's the right thing to do, to love my neighbor, to serve God. And so that's where our mission comes from, right? We seek to love God and love one another more. Out of that love comes a desire to be transformed, to become more like the Savior that died for us. I want to be changed. And so love moves us towards a transforming life, where we're engaging in with God and his word. And when we become different people, we're like, this is so awesome. I need to give this away because there's people all around me that don't know this Savior that I know. And so when we're transformed, we naturally move towards serving others. That's just the natural process, progress of a healthy love. So today, our focus today is on the blue one. We're called to serve. We are called to serve like Jesus did, and to help others to know how to love and follow him as well. Let's stand and we'll dig into our verses for the day. And for this focus, this part of our mission as the body of Christ. Let's read. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." 1 Peter 4:10. So thank you, Jesus. Again, another one of these things that you don't complicate it. You make it very plain, transformational, life-changing, but simple and plain. So give us hearts to receive this simple call of yours and to walk it out in our everyday lives. And we just want to honor you today. We love you for what you've done for us. Oh, we just want to bless you and make you happy, make you smile. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. So this verse where Jesus was telling them about, you know, people around you want to exercise authority. They want to have leadership and ownership over you. You know where that conversation came out of? James and John, the big mouths, right? So, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can we sit at your right hand and left hand? What do you say? You know us. We got, come on, we're your buds. We want to be in there, right in the inner circle. Why? They wanted to have authority. They wanted to have leadership, greatness in the way that the world says. There's a lot of ways of becoming great among you, as Jesus said. Whoever wants to be great among you. Now, there's the kind that James and John were looking after. Can we be in the inner circle? That's where there's power equals people taking care of you, fawning over you, you know, catering to you, listening to everything you say and doing what you say, that kind of leadership. That's what James and John had. And of course, the rest of the 10 heard about it. How'd they feel about it? They were ticked off. They're like, what's says they became indignant with James and John. And so Jesus calls them together, says, "Come on. This is not what I'm talking about. Not so with you. Whoever wants to be first among you, get in the back of the line. Whoever wants to be great among you, slave. You have to be a servant. That's what I'm talking about," Jesus tells them. I think they got the message. But you know, in today's day and age, we can become great and famous all by ourselves. We can have all the things of greatness. Satan has a funny way, not funny, he's got a sneaky way of feeding our sinful nature, our selfish nature. He really, really does. Today we can become great and famous all by ourselves. All by our little selves, right? Just sit in your couch and you can all of a sudden become you can become socially popular. Everybody can follow you. Or if you can't get a whole bunch of people to follow you, you know what? Just go join somebody else's popularity and you'll feel like, oh, you know, we can lord it over this person or that group. We can rule over them just by the sheer power of what? The social mob. That's the new way. You don't have to have position or authority. You just need to become a part of a mob and just annihilate somebody online. Satan has a funny way of being able to feed our selfishness, our desire for becoming great. It's pretty interesting. The sin nature hasn't changed. It's still all about me. It's still all about wanting to control others, to rule over others. It's still all about me first. That doesn't really change. But Jesus, as always, turns our sin nature on its head. He just turns things upside down and says, yeah, that's really, to follow me, it doesn't work so much like that. Yeah, to follow me, you kind of got to be a slave. You got to be a servant. You want to be first? How about you get in line and be last? You want to be great and thought wonderful by everybody? Yeah, get on your knees. Go serve people. Go put others first. You want to save your life? Yeah, my way is give your life for me, and then you'll save it. it's Jesus' economy. It turns the world and our sin nature up on its head. And he says, you know, calling yourself one of my followers, naming something, doesn't make it true. Just because you say it doesn't make it true. He says, this is what it means to follow me. It means putting others first. It means the servant's heart. It means living like I lived, Jesus said. Because Jesus said in this verse, even if the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, if God's Son didn't come to be served, certainly his followers are going to have to come and serve, even as our Master did. Kind of, you know, doesn't it bug you that Jesus is so ambiguous? He's always like beating around the bush, and he never just come out and say it, you know? You just wish he'd say, Jesus, would you just tell us what you mean? He kind of does, doesn't he? It's not like, what? Are you talking? Is that me? Are you talking to me? Well, yeah. Right? He's talking to all of us. It's not hard to get. But you know what? This is where the mature love, the growing love, the transformed love starts to come in. When we realize how serious Jesus was about saving us, about coming to rescue us, that he, God Almighty, the creator of all things, would come, become one of us, and get down on his knees before us and wash our dirty, stinky, ugly feet. Man, this is some serious. He was serious. And we realize that we come to just stop and think, oh my goodness, how much he loves me. What he did for me is just, it's mind-blowing. And those words that we started using, our allegiance, our loyalty to him first. No matter what it costs me, my loyalty is to him and him alone. My duty to my king. Those are the things, terms or words that we use so often. We start using them when we truly begin to love God the way he loved us and love Jesus the way he loves us, we start to use those terms and say, you know what? It's my duty. It's what makes teachers show up week after week and prepare and take the time to do that and show up. Sometimes they've got a class of 20, sometimes they've got a class of 2, and they're there because, you know what? I'm doing it for the kingdom and for the king. So it's not whether or not I'm popular or how many people show up for my class. It's, God, did you call me to this, Jesus? Is this really what you wanted me to do? All right, then. Then this is what I'll do. It's what makes people pay attention to how things look around the church. It's what makes people go, that's, no, we can't leave it like that. It would dishonor my Lord. It would dishonor Jesus. I'd never want somebody to come in and say, the place looks pretty shoddy. They must not really care. No, never, never let that be. It's what makes people miss other people that are not here. They say, I wonder where that person is. I'll just shoot him a note, give him a call. It's just what makes people do the things they do week in and week out, week in, week out, because they have this recognition of what Jesus said when he said, as I have served, so you also should serve. Have that mindset. It's what makes people hang out with children who are all goofy and silly, and or hang out with teenagers that are hard to keep up with and have hard problems to deal with. It's what makes people just have a heart to love them and do that, you know. Our next verse out of 1 Peter says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Again, when we stop and say, the Bible's hard to understand. I know there's some hard passages. I won't pretend there are not. But then there's the ones that are just like, each of you. Now, let's take that apart and figure out exactly what that phrase means. Each of you. I'm sorry, I sometimes get a little bit snarky. It just means each of us, all of us, right? It just means that. We're all vital. Each and every one of us are important. And if each of us serves, then there's a wide, look around you, we're a interesting hodgepodge of people, aren't we? And we're just all different. And all of you have such important parts to play, each of us. And it's the difference between being a wonderful variety or there's just a few and you only get a few different gifts. And that's not what that's why the Spirit said each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Scripture talks about the body of Christ. It describes us, the church, as the body of Christ, right? On my body, I've got 5 different kinds of fingers. In fact, I've got 2 of each, right? I've got arms, I've got eyes, I've got a nose, I've got a mouth. Sometimes I use it too much, sometimes not enough. I've got ears, I've got all these things. I've got strength in my arms, all these things. All these different parts that are important. I would be sad if I didn't have some of these parts, right? They would cause my life to be different, wouldn't they? All the different parts of the body serve important purposes. And Jesus used that picture, the body of Christ. We're all a part of the body of Christ. You guys are all some various and sundry part of this body, and you're all important. You're all important. I saw a post from Bill Barnwell, pastor over at Royal Oak Church. And he asked the question. Bill's not afraid to ask challenging questions. For those that are non-attenders, you're believers, but you don't attend anywhere. Why? He generally wanted to know why. Great question. Wish I'd thought of it. great question. And he had all kinds of different responses. I mean, there was a lot of responses, and it was good. And sometimes we don't like hearing the responses because sometimes it points to the church and says, I just was not getting anything. It wasn't making a difference in the community. I mean, there's all kinds of different reasons. Somebody hurt me. I mean, there's as many reasons as there were 40 or 50 posts on there. But a lot of times people would say, you know what? I can have my time with Jesus in my living room. I have just as great a time just spending time with him as I would coming to church. I don't miss it. What do I need it for? Because Jesus said the body of Christ includes all of us. We were never intended to function as a finger that's just flopping around all by itself, because a finger by itself cannot do what the whole hand can do, can it? Jesus, the scripture teaches the concept of the body. It's vital that we are together because we depend on each other. We are all important to each other. And I think he said to Timothy, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. You need each other. You may not like to be together all the time because sometimes we can rub each other wrong and we don't always get along the best, but that's just because we're human. But it doesn't change the fact that we need each other, and Jesus designed the body of Christ, the church, to be the body. Many different parts serving and working together. It's the way he designed us. Does Jesus love the church? He loves the church. The church, how does Scripture describe the church? The bride. Yeah. The bride of Christ. He loves his bride. Oh, he loves the bride of Christ. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her to present her to himself, a glorious bride. He loves the bride. He wants to be with his bride. He wants the bride to be healthy, whole, beautiful, just as he intended the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, to be. We're called to love the church even as Jesus loves the church. So he said, use whatever gifts you've received. What? To serve others. We talked about that with Jesus' example of washing one another's feet, all of the being last instead of first, being a servant to all. We're to serve. And whether that is, of course, we're not just called to serve ourselves, right? There's this little thing called the Great Commission that says, now go and reach everybody else that's outside of the body and bring them into the body, right? So whether that's in our church, in our homes, we're to serve. In our workplaces, we're to have servants' hearts. In the grocery store, at the gas station, serve. Serve, even as Jesus served. So just an encouragement, don't give up. If you've looked to find a place to serve and it just hasn't really worked out, or for whatever reason, and it's just, don't give up trying. The church is not perfect. We don't always do things the way we should. Don't lose sight of trying to find that place of being a part of the body that God has designed and created you to be, because there is something here. And we'll work through it together because We all know we're imperfect, and we all know we got to put up with each other, right? You got to put up with me, I got to put up with you, and we work through it together because of his goodness. And lastly, he says, so use whatever gifts to serve others, each of you, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The Spirit of God qualifies this whole conversation with this, calling us stewards of God's grace. I had a little more of a grace revelation for myself. Grace, you've heard me talk about that as God doing in and through us what we could never do ourselves. But God kind of clarified it for me. That's the how. But the definition that we've often used is the what. God kind of clarified that in my brain. The what is God's undeserved love. That's grace. That's grace. That's what it is. The how is God working in our lives to do in his love what we could never do, whether that's salvation or sanctification. It's grace being worked out in our lives. It's before and after. It's all of that. What is it that we're stewards of? What is a steward? Yeah, we're caretakers. We talked about that in our biblical finances. 100% of what I have is 100% God's. I don't own it. He's just given me charge over it. And he said, this is the way I function. You'll do better with 90% of what I've given you than you will with 100%. So you give me 10, I will bless your 90, way more than your 100 could ever be blessed. And that's we're a steward. We say, all right, God, you own this. I'm going to take care of it the way you've called me to. And as stewards of God's grace, the grace is all his. He's given it to us. Now, what am I going to do with it? As a steward of God's grace, he says, serve. Serve others. Be faithful stewards of God's grace, his working in you what you could never do because of his undeserved love. Serve others. And it goes on to say, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Was that? I think that might have been back in the other verse, but that's what he said. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So some will serve in the church. Some will serve the ones we reach, our people, the ones that God sends us, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, as Scripture teaches. Some will take care of facilities and the grounds outside and the facilities inside. Some of it will be fixing things. Some of it will be decorating things. Some of it will be taking care of the children and the youth. Some of it will be teaching other adults. Some of it will be playing instruments or taking care of computer stuff in the back. Some of it will be ministry and prayer. God will call many of us to serve in the church as we serve the community. But God will call many of us to serve outside the church, right? And serve the community. We're going to have a picnic for the community in the park this summer. We're going to minister to their community. We're trying to minister to the teachers and the families over at Searsma Elementary. That's our serving our community, our food pantry. That's serving people out in our community. That's part of going to all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. And he says, each of you, find a place to serve. Now, many of our people, and a good many, really, we have a lot of people serving in our church. Some of you serve in multiple places. You're wearing two hats, sometimes three hats. Some of what God is going to call us to do is to learn to help bring others along, to learn how to do what we do. Whether that's new people that come into the church or people that are here that haven't really found a place of ministry, we're going to be learning how to show somebody else how to do what we're doing. So whether that's playing guitar, or teaching children, or office work, or greeting people at the door, whatever that might be, God's calling us not just to do that work, but to bring somebody else along and say, I think you would be really good at this. Let me show you what I do. Come and follow me around for a month, and let me show you what I do. And then maybe you can start doing it and finding your place to serve in the body. Whatever that might be, whether it's serving meals for the funerals or for our fellowship meals, being an usher or whatever it might be. We can learn to begin to build what God has done in us into somebody else. And that's an important thing, what we're going to be focusing on in this coming year as well. So, this is our mission, folks. The things we do are the things that God's called us to do, to seek to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learn to love the people around me. Get to know them. Don't run out the door. Stop. Talk to a new person. Talk to somebody you haven't talked to. Talk to somebody outside of your normal circles or age range or whatever it might be. But let's get to know people. And then seek to be transformed. Seek to learn more about him so you could become more like him. And as God does amazing things as he's done in my life, he will do in yours. We say, you know what? I need to go serve somebody. I need to go help somebody else to be a part of this. That's it. That's the call. Jesus, again, doesn't make it complicated. Find those three places. Here's one. Be here. Worship on Sunday mornings. Two, find a group to grow in and be transformed but through the Word and through his people. And then find one place to serve. That's what God calls each of us to do. And I'm so excited to see how God has been working in people's lives in so many different ways. I hear a lot of stories. I'm blessed in that sense. And I see God working in a lot of ways. One life at a time, right? You can't change the world, right? You can't change the country. But you can change, you can allow God to change you, right? And then you bring somebody else along and allow God to change them. And that's how the world changes. So put up that last list. I just want to leave that up, and we're going to close with the song we already sang today, but the heart of that song is just, Lord, I want to be where you are. I want to know, Lord, who you are. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening. Speak to me. We have a bulletin board with the pictures and names of people that are leading in different ministries. The Connection Center will have a list, a bunch of volunteer forms. They're also out by the bulletin board. If you're looking and saying, Lord, I'm not sure where, fill out the general volunteer form. It'll have a list like this and say, I don't know, maybe here, maybe there, maybe just write on it, I have no idea, I'd like to talk to somebody. Or maybe you felt, I've been feeling led towards children's ministry or work in the audiovisual booth. You pray about it and grab a few forms and just begin to pray and say, Lord, where are you calling me to serve? Where's that one place that you're calling me to serve? And just begin to knock on that door. If you begin knocking with the heart of this worship song, I promise you, The first place you go may not be the place you end up landing. It doesn't matter. Did you ever hear the idea that you can steer a moving car a lot easier than a parked one? Yeah, God can steer a moving person a lot easier than someone that's just not moving. So you just begin to say, all right, Lord, I'll pray about it. I've prayed about it. I think this is where the Lord might be leading me. You try. And God will either say, you got it. That was right where I wanted you. Or he'd say, no, not quite. Let's redirect a little bit. And he will move you to where he wants you. And it's a beautiful thing to watch God do that in your life. So let's just stand and sing this song.